good morning. The Lord be with you. Welcome to those who have braved the rain and the wind in order to gather on this second Sunday of Advent for early morning worship. Glad that you are here with us. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity. And if you are new with us here for the first time, delighted to welcome you as our guest this morning and pray God's blessing on you as we worship. I hope you'll let us know that you've been here in worship, whether you're here for the first time or here all the time. The connection card that's in your bulletin can be used for that purpose. And a little bit later in the service, you can simply place those in the offering plate when the ushers come by. Today, I want to point your attention to our mission box offering. Every week, there's an opportunity for us to be generous beyond the ongoing ministries of our congregation. We support things that are out in the community and in the world. Today is for the Zarka Life Center. Inside your bulletin, at the very top in the left-hand column, you'll see some information about Zarka. It truly is a life transformational ministry that is happening with refugees from Syria in the area of Jordan. You can read more about that in your bulletin and the valuable work that they're doing and the exciting news that they have about a new center that they are currently awaiting being able to move into that will allow them to serve even more refugees. So I invite your attention to that. And if you'd like to make an offering, you can place those in the mission boxes, those wooden boxes that are at each of the exit doors as you leave this morning. As we gather here for worship today, we draw close once again as we move ever closer to Christmas and the arrival of the good news of Emmanuel, God with us. And as we keep drawing close, I'm going to invite you to consider this morning when we get up in just a moment and say good morning to each other, to draw a little closer to each other. Since there are fewer of us here this morning, I'm not going to make anybody move, but if you would feel like moving a little bit closer into one another so that we might be a little more connected in worship this morning, I'm going to invite you to do that. But no matter, let me welcome you and say to you this morning as we do each week, welcome home. Would you stand and greet one another as we prepare to worship?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn, O Come All You Faithful. Thank you.
the first chapter of Luke, we learn about Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. When Zechariah and Elizabeth found out, when they were older in age, and found out that Elizabeth was going to have a son, Zechariah was in disbelief. And so, when the angel told him, he didn't believe, and then, for the duration of her pregnancy, Zechariah could not speak. Finally, when his son was born, and he was able to speak, he first named his son John, and then he made this prophecy about John and about the way of peace. So this morning, I invite you to read responsibly with me these words that were first spoken by Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free. The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears, and to remember the holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship without fear, holy and righteous in the Lord's sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation for the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. To all who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Peace that is not nostalgic or fleeting, but peace that sustains us throughout the day and invades us at the end of the day. Peace that is not mundane or ordinary, but peace that is lasting and peace that surpasses all understanding. So this morning, as we offer our prayers, I'm going to invite you to pray with your eyes wide open, literally. Our prayer this morning is a video prayer. And so So I invite you to remember these folks who will be praying for this woman. But also, leave your eyes open and pray the words on the screen as we pray this video prayer together. We continue our worship this morning. We have the opportunity to offer to God our tithes and our offerings. These are the fruit of our lives, the gifts of our lives that we offer to God. And so I invite you now to pray with me as we plan to receive these gifts. O God of the angels and the prophets, we give thanks for the many ways that you bless our lives. And your challenge to us to bring about justice and compassion, to make a difference in our world in the name of Jesus Christ. So we pray that you will receive these gifts and bless them, and that they will be used for your work and for your ministry through us in this community and across the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Zechariah's song, once his son John was born. And then a couple of chapters later, in John 3, we hear from John himself, who has now grown up into adulthood and has gone out to the wilderness, where we hear this about him from the Gospel of Luke. I invite you to follow along with me this morning as I read the first six verses of chapter 3. In the 15th year of the rule of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. And all humanity will see God's salvation." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. So on this second Sunday of Advent, it is the tradition of the church to light the candle of peace. Last week we lit the candle of hope. Today we light the candle of peace. And there is a risk when we get to this Sunday every year that we will sentimentalize this particular week, that we will turn it into something of a nostalgic sort that feels comfy and cozy and quaint and yet bears little resemblance or meaningful connection to the reality of our lives and of our world. Even some of our song lyrics at this time of year have a risk of sending us off in that direction. There's that second verse of Away in a Manger, one of our most familiar and most loved, particularly with our children. That phrase that tells us that little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. It's such a quaint little scene, isn't it? Jesus fast asleep on the hay. And the cows are mooing, and the goats are bleating. Really? Come on, friends. Any of us who have had children know that if animals are making loud noises, then the baby is going to wake up and cry, Jesus or not. But the scene feels so picturesque and serene for us. And we just want to sit with that for a little while. Even Silent Night has the risk of doing that for us. All is calm. All is right. Sleep in heavenly peace. It is a beautiful scene and something for us to long for, and yet if we're not careful, we will simply sit in a moment of nostalgia and fail to hear the message that comes to us about the kind of peace that is really needed both in our lives and in the world. And so here comes John the Baptist on this second Sunday of Advent to disrupt things for us, to seemingly disturb the peace, if you will. And John doesn't seem calm at all. There is a sense of urgency in his voice. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight God's paths. John comes and says, prepare. And that word on John's lips doesn't sound at all like the kind of preparing that often occupies so much of our time and our energy at this time of year. We spend a lot of time making the preparations for the exterior things in our lives. John, in his message, is calling us to make interior preparations, the kinds of preparations that go on deep within our very being. Now, in order to understand John's message, we have to set it in the context. This is a great example of the importance of, whenever we come to Scripture, looking at what is around any particular verse or passage to see what is happening both before and after. And so this morning we'll take a quick look backward and forward in order to set that context. We look backward to the message that comes through Zechariah's voice in his song that we read together. Because in that passage, as Zechariah talks about the one who is to come as Savior and Messiah, he points to his son John as the one who will be the messenger preparing the way. And the one for whom he prepares the way, Zechariah tells us, is the one, Emmanuel, God with us, who will guide us in the way of peace. You see, peace has to do with a way of life when John talks about it for us. Peace is not just something that happens to us or something that we receive as if we get a little peace dust sprinkled on us. Peace is something that we become active participants in. We join in being a part of the way of peace. And so then, when we hear John, we must continue to listen to what he says, not only in those first few verses of chapter 3, but then what he says when the people ask him. As he is out there in the wilderness preaching this news of preparing the way, people begin to ask, well, John, then what should I do? And to the tax collector, John says, don't cheat people. And to the soldier, John says, don't extort money out of people. And to everyone who says, what should we do? John says, participate in a life where you share what you have. If you have two of something, give one to somebody who needs it. And in those three responses that we hear in verses 10 through 14 of the third chapter, it sounds a lot like the resistance of evil and injustice and oppression. That the one whose way he announces, the Christ who will come into the world, will call all of his followers into pursuing. These are the things that make for peace for all of us and for all of God's children. And without breaking down these walls of evil and injustice and oppression, there can be no real peace. So prepare the way, John tells us. How? By changing. Now, the word that is used in this third chapter of John is the word repentance. That John came preaching a message of repentance and invited people into baptism as a sign of that repentance. Now, you may remember from a couple of weeks ago when Lenora preached on baptism that while we practice Christian baptism, there was even prior to that, this encounter that people were invited to have as a cleansing, as a way of symbolizing a cleansing of their lives. And it is this cleansing into which John was inviting the people with his message. And the message was to repent. The Greek word is metanoia, which can mean changing one's mind or one's whole being, with a particular focus of turning around and going in a new direction. Last week, our Stepping Stones children had their Christmas performance here in the worship center, and it is always a treat to listen to those children sing about the good news of the season. And the highlight for me this year was hearing those wonderful young voices sing together, "Let there be peace on earth," and "Let it begin with me." What a wonderful message for them to be learning and to be allowing to sink into their hearts and lives from such an early age, that peace doesn't just happen, that peace involves our participation. Let it begin with me. And so I ask you this morning, where is it that you need to turn around and walk a different way in order to participate in the way of peace? You know, there are two characters that show up every year in this season that are good reminders for us of the importance of being willing to turn around when we are not walking in the ways that make for peace. Ebenezer Scrooge and the Grinch that stole Christmas start out as two of the most hated characters of all, and yet what we see happen to them is that they experience a transformation. They change. And when they do, their way of orienting themselves towards others changes, and they begin to take part in bringing peace to their communities through their actions. What behaviors, what attitudes, what words, what thoughts, what habits need to change in you this Advent? What is it that you need to turn and walk away from in order to participate in the peace that God wants to bring to all of us through Christ Jesus? You know, I love a good sunrise. Occasionally, Catherine and I get the opportunity to make a trip up to what we affectionately refer to as the farm. It is a place that more than 30 years ago, Catherine's parents purchased as a piece of property that would become a much-loved place of escape for them and for other members of the family. And about 15 years ago, they built a house there where they now spend part of the year. Whenever we go up there, one of my favorite things to do is to wake up early in the morning and to make a cup of coffee and to sit out on the front porch in one of the rockers that is there and to look out over the mountains that are in front of me, because that front porch faces toward the east. And so I can see that sun coming up over the mountains. And it is such a beautiful, peaceful time. I have a friend who is a pastor over in the Ormond Beach area, and when he moved there a few years ago, one of the things that he was most excited about was being on the East Coast, where he could wake up every morning and go out to the beach and see that sun rise. And just about every morning he takes a picture of that sunrise and posts it on social media so that he can share it with others. But for him, it's a reminder that no matter what happened the day before, no matter what has gone on prior to that morning, the sun always comes up, and there's always the possibility of a new day. On this second Sunday of Advent, the Scriptures remind us that in Christ, a new dawn is coming from on high, in the words of Zechariah, John's father, or in the words of that beautiful carol, "O Holy Night," "Yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." And John that all humanity might see it together. So prepare the way, for the Prince of Peace is coming. We pray. Oh God, may we sit in this season of Advent and take the time that we need to reflect on the work that you want to do within each of us, so that we might be a part of your work of bringing peace to this earth, to your people, to all of us. Through Christ our Lord.
Table and we give thanks to God who created each and every one of us in that first new and glorious morn. The sun rose and God created each one of us and breathed life into us. And yet we know that we turned away from God, that we have sinned, that we have neglected God's ways. But God's love for us never fails. God never gives up on us. And so, when the time was right, God came in Jesus, who fed the hungry and ate with sinners and healed the sick and preached repentance and forgiveness of sin. And so we know that when we turn away from God, God calls us to turn around and come back. God calls us to offer our lives to God, our hearts to God, and to live in a new way, to walk in a way that reveals that new and glorious morn in each of our lives, to walk in a way of peace, to offer compassion and justice. Jesus offered his very life so that we might have life. And we come to the table and we remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he poured it and he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to the table and we offer our lives. We offer all that we are and all that we have to live and walk in a new way. A way of light and life as we witness that to all the world. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on those gathered here and on those gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, oh God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and we all feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements of the altar. Prepare to come this morning. I invite you to spend a few moments in prayer and ask. asking God where it is in your life that you need to turn around. Where do you need to seek repentance? And how might God be calling you to walk in a new way of life, in a new direction that reveals God's light, that new and glorious morning in your life and in the world? How might you walk in the way of peace? So we'll invite you to come out the left side of your section. The pair of servers in front of your area are closest to you. And then cup your hands to receive a piece of bread. Take that and dip it into the cup. And then you can return to your seats by the other side. But again, I do invite you to spend some time in prayer, either in your seats before you come or at the altar, at the kneeling rail after you receive. Please come. Everything's ready. pray together? Holy God, we give you thanks for the gift of this meal, which does strengthen us for each and every new day, which empowers us by the very real presence of Jesus Christ to go out into the world and to be a witness and to walk in a way of peace. In the name of Christ, we pray.
Cast out our sin and enter in, Lord Jesus, we just say. Indeed, the message that John announces to us today is to repent, to turn and go in a new direction so that we might see the dawn rising of a new day in which indeed there is peace on earth. And may that peace begin with each of us as we go out trusting in the love of God, the grace of Jesus.